570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Later on this hour, we will be joined by the Saltier, Adam Oslin. He will jump on the show and get us caught up. Lakers getting ready in Memphis. Maybe we'll have an update on LeBron James. At this point, LeBron James is questionable. The Clippers are hosting the Spurs tonight. And, of course, you'll hear that on AM 570 LA Sports. But now.
Oh, yeah.
To bring us together, Rodney.
Oh,
Rodney, we got to come together. We have to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We need that spirituality.
Yes, we do.
We need someone that'll make it all okay. And for that, we welcome on Vic the Brick with a daily haiku at 2. And Vic, we say good afternoon. Okay, now I'm
Freddy!
Concerned.
No. Already?
Rodney, that's too... Wait a minute.
Come on.
First of all, are you there, Vic?
Be patient, Fred.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
You weren't there.
Fred, have we not learned anything from 2020?
Vic was there. Colin and I were talking to him during the break. He's there.
Vic, that went on like a minute.
It was not a minute.
How long?
Early 2021.
Honest to God, Rodney, I was concerned that he was there.
What happened to these resolutions? That should have been one of yours. That you were going to be more patient and let things marinate.
Oh, Rodney, for God's sake.
That should have been at the top of the list, Freddie.
I thought he might have been hitting a button. Help. I've fallen down and I can't get up. I mean, he wasn't there. Vic, are you still there?
Good afternoon, Fred.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Rodney.
Yes, Vic.
Good afternoon, K-Fig.
Oh, King Flavor. What's up?
Good afternoon, Colin Yee, in for Ronnie Fascio.
Oh, yes.
How feeling
you going to say anything about that now, Fred? That we're not going to be enlightened again?
No, Colin is going to...
Colin's back again?
Colin, you'll handle this today, right?
I got it, Fred.
Okay.
No, don't do that, Colin. Don't let Fred throw you under that bus.
Colin's a team player.
Before we get to the haiku...
Yes.
You know, I like to roll around the various websites looking for, you know, fascinating tidbits and nuggets.
So you like to surf around, right?
I mean, I do. I love surfing the web. It's such an incredible storehouse of information.
The internet machine.
Came across a fascinating story. Now, you guys know what tchotchkes are, right? Tchotchkes?
Absolutely.
Stuff you have around the house, you decorate.
Yeah.
You put it on the, you know, on a shelf.
Yes.
So you know me, I'm a big Miley Cyrus fan. Have been since, you know, Wrecking Ball. And she has been very, very out there the last few years. Am I right? She's really been sort of on the edge. You know, her fashion style, her attitudes. She's pretty wild.
You know, pre-pandemic, I actually saw her. I saw her in an establishment.
Oh, really?
Near my home. Yes.
Well, she's very cool.
Yeah.
But this was a revelation for me, how she decorates her Rolling Hills home. Oh, Hidden Hills, rather.
Mm.
She decorates her home with sex toys.
Okay. All right.
You saw this thing.
I did when I was rifling through the wacky internet.
You saw pictures?
Yes.
Oh, do tell.
Well, she's fascinated, obviously, with the colors. And I saw them. She had like, I don't know, 10 items on her fireplace.
What were the items?
I told you earlier.
I know, but I mean, were there specific items you want to talk about or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
She had 10 of them, different colors.
Rather, very, very. I've never seen them displayed like that. And I was like, whoa.
Were they all the same toy or different toys?
I think same toy, different colors, Fred.
Mm. Well, she's got her go-to.
Okay.
And she may have started a fad. Who knows?
Well, but, do they look like trophies on the mantle?
Yes, trophies on the mantle, Fred. Exactly right.
Mm.
They look like your Little League trophies from the Phoenix Industrial League.
I played at Westwood Little League, not the Phoenix Industrial League. I think you seem to be tickled by this.
You know me, I'm a Cyrus fan.
Did you get that, Vic? You were tickled by this?
Oh, I heard it, Fred.
Okay.
I'm not riding that train.
Okay, I gotta find out what these are.
I'm riding the train of decor.
Riding a train.
So she displayed all these sexual toys, Vic, you're saying that you rifled through.
Well, rifled through the internet and found the story of Miley using a very unusual way of decorating her house. Mm-hmm. That's Miley, man. Uh-huh. That's Miley Cyrus.
Beating her own drum. I like it.
You might say that.
Yeah.
With those toys.
Well, you know, she's very provocative.
Yeah.
You can tell. You saw her New Year's Eve, you know, with rocking New Year's Eve. You know, the many outfits she wears. And she's rocking out, man. You know, I'm very proud of her for just rocking out.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. She speaks her mind and lets her mind speak, Fred.
It's funny, Vic. I don't see any pictures of the toys. I just see that she did an interview.
Well, the toys are part of your imagination, Vic.
Fred, you're going to have to dig deeper into research.
I'm on it.
Okay.
I don't see it.
All right, listen. It'll pop up.
Okay. Apparently it will.
This haiku is by a rising star.
Okay.
Senna.
Who?
S-E-N-N-A, Senna.
So this is our first ever Senna haiku.
I believe it is. He broke through.
Okay, good.
The rising star, huh, Vic?
I like to give, you know, young haiku artists, you know, a break and some love. You know, this is what do we do?
Is there anything you can tell us about Senna?
Not much.
Okay. No. All right.
Very under the radar haiku artists. Senna, S-E-N-N-A, is haiku for you at 2.
Vic, are you reading Marie Claire magazine?
No.
Because that's where it says Miley Cyrus uses sex toys. Marie Claire.
No, I did not read Marie Claire.
Okay. Well,
is she an interior decorator?
No, Vic. It's a magazine that women read.
Oh, I'll read it.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Exactly. In Saturday Night Fever, didn't John Travolta read women's magazines?
He might have, Vic.
To get a more, you know, insight into the female. Was that Saturday Night Fever?
I don't know, but I'm getting a fever.
Why?
Because I'm anticipating the haiku.
There you go. I like that. Senna.
You didn't like Saturday Night Fever?
Great. I had no problem with it.
No problem. It's one of the biggest grossing movies of all time, Fred.
You didn't like it.
No,
normally people say I love Saturday Night Fever. Oh, it was a great flick, but you said I didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
What kind of answer is that?
It was incredible, Fred. It was an incredible movie.
Yeah. Fred, you should watch the Bee Gees documentary.
I do. I want to see that. You mentioned that. I want to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie Steiner's in it.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I know he was the sixth Bee Gee. We know, Vic.
Who is this guy?
That'll be a great title for Charlie. The sixth Bee Gee.
We know, Vic.
That'll be fantastic. I love that.
That's exactly what he said in the documentary, Fred. They were talking about Barry Gibb, and he said, "Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?"
Vic? Are you still there?
This is by Senna. With ink-stained lips, the boy leaves his poem for the cool outdoors.
I'm feeling you!
Senna.
I like it. Only one question comes to mind.
What?
Yes.
What did this boy have his lips on to have them ink-stained?
Probably a charcoal-based pen.
A what-based?
Charcoal.
Oh, okay.
You know, back in the day, they used a lot of charcoal, you know, for painting and for writing. You know, this is a couple hundred years ago. And charcoal was very, very instrumental in haiku writing and in art around the world.
Right.
Charcoal.
Okay, yeah. So basically, he had the charcoal pen. He put it in his mouth, and his lips became ink stained.
Correct, Fred.
Okay,
that's a scenario. I think that was the reality for the boy leaving his poem for the cool outdoors.
Colin, what did you make of today's haiku?
Well, I kind of identify with the boy. You know.
Yeah.
I really feel like I could be in his shoes.
Tremendous insight.
That was tremendous insight, Vic.
Yes, it is.
Vic and I, we just have this, we have an extraterrestrial level that we understand each other on.
You feel like you could be in the boy's shoes.
Right, with ink-stained lips.
No doubt.
Tremendous insight.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our buddy Jacob and Ronnie. Jacob was on earlier. You got a problem, call him. 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
And we know the Chargers are looking for a new head coach. Anthony Lynn actually released a statement not too long ago thanking the Chargers organization for the opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL. And according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, the Chargers do have interest in Urban Meyer for the head coaching vacancy. Urban, of course, had a great run of college football at Utah, then Ohio State, and then Florida. Has never coached at the NFL level, even as an assistant, I don't believe, but is one of the highly sought-after names, and apparently the Chargers are interested. Is he innovative enough for you, Fred?
Oh, he'd be a great hire. Urban Meyer would be a great hire. I mean, he's a name. He would generate some excitement. If John Gruden makes $10 million a year, what do you think they have to pay Urban Meyer?
Apparently 12. He's asking for 12.
12?
That's what the reports are. He's asking for 12.
You think the Chargers would pay him $12 million a year?
Well, hold on. It's the Chargers.
Well.
And the Chargers and $12 million for a coach?
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not trying to be cruel.
None of us are. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to pay him $12 million a year to be the coach? Yeah, it'd be great if they could get him to be the coach. I don't think they're going to pay him $12 million.
No, they're not going to pay him $12 million. But, you know, they want to play with the big boys in L.A. They're going to have to start ponying up and have a different identity than people thinking of them as the cheap Chargers. I think, you know, Urban Meyer's been away from the game, you know, enough, but not long enough that he's still in touch with what's going on. You know, the pro game is totally different than the college game, and that's the only thing. I think a lot of people predicted that Nick Saban would not succeed at the pro level because of his style and the way he is more of a in-your-face kind of guy. And it suits more at the college level with younger kids and guiding them. Urban Meyer seems to be a little bit more, you know, laid back and easygoing and kind of can adapt to it. And plus the pro game is more resembling the college game than it ever has in the past. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of teams run college offenses as opposed to it used to be, you know, can you adjust to a pro style offense? So it suits him. It would suit him to join the NFL now, especially where the game is played and the quarterback and offenses are played now. It would suit Urban Meyer pretty well. So.
You know, the only thing is, Rodney, I think, is if Urban Meyer were to take the job, I guess the question you would have to ask during the interview, and I don't know if he could even forecast it, given that he has stepped down from previous jobs because of the stress and the wear and the tear on him physically, how long do you think you can do this?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to be able to do it 5 years?
You think he really stepped down because of the wear and tear?
You don't think so?
Physically and mentally?
You don't think?
I'm just asking you, do you?
Yeah, well, that,
that's the reason he stepped down to Florida and Ohio State?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, he stepped down to Florida because of the wear and tear of that Alabama juggernaut coming after him. At least that's what the rumors are.
He got out right in time. Alabama was coming, but yeah. But also there was, you know, there was his health. I mean, that's, I'm not to belittle that. That was definitely, he had health issues, and that was well documented. But also there were scandals getting ready to happen at Florida, and same thing at Ohio State, which is, you know, about to, it was about to blow up in his face, which it actually did at Ohio State. And we saw, you know, some of the things that came out about that Florida team that he was, that he programmed, that he ran for a number of years. But I still think he's a good guy. You can't, you know, I always say this, you can't control everybody. All these young kids, they put everything on the head coach. You can't always control that. But yeah, the stress of it would certainly be an issue, because he's had stress-related issues in the past and had to, you know, take games off and take seasons off.
Urban renewal at $12 million a year for the Spanos family. That is not the way of Spanos. I don't know who's going to pay him $12 million a year. He's got a great gig in the Fox booth. He's relaxed. You know, he can criticize every play. He doesn't get penalized. He's free. I understand his price tag because he's won the national titles and he's got the cred. But right now, for me, it's Eric Bieniemy as the number one seed for the next head coach of your Los Angeles Chargers. My sleeper is Patrick Graham, defensive coordinator for the New York Football Giants, who the Chargers supposedly have asked to interview. Patrick Graham, put that on your list. You heard it here
on the list. Maybe Urban's pricing himself out of the market and saying, okay, I'm going to throw out the biggest number and see if they match it. If they match it, then I can't afford not to turn it down. And then we'll go from there.
That's smart. We talked about all these professional leagues losing a lot of money because of the pandemic, not having fans in the stands. We're all trying to find ways to get a couple extra shekels in the pocket. The NHL has adopted a very interesting theory this year. They're actually selling the naming rights to their divisions. So the North Division is not going to be called the NHL North. It's going to be called the Scotia NHL North. We all have the Honda NHL West, where the Ducks and Kings will reside. The Discover NHL Central and the Mass Mutual NHL East Division. This is just for this season, at least for right now. That's what they're saying. They say it's a one-year-only campaign, but something tells me, Fred, this is something we're going to see in the future.
I'll tell you what. That Mass Mutual Division is going to be hell on wheels.
I'm sure.
Oh,
no, don't sleep on the Scotia, wow. Scotia Bank Division, though.
Oh, the Honda Bank?
Yeah.
The Honda? Whatever.
We have the Honda NHL, too. The Honda West.
Yeah. Here's what I think. You see it for 1 year. I wouldn't be surprised going forward, slowly but surely, you see it everywhere. I would not be surprised to see the NBA adopt it, Major League Baseball adopt it. It's just money. It's another revenue stream. I would not be surprised to see this continue in hockey and creep into the other sports, Rodney.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. Teams are in such a hole in trying to come back and regenerate revenue wherever they can and be creative about it. Look, we already saw this in the NBA where they've got advertisement on their jerseys now. You know, it's something that we didn't necessarily think would ever happen, and now we're seeing the advertisement on the jerseys.
Yep.
In the NBA. It's going to turn into, you know, European soccer leagues. We're, yep, going to have, you know, ads all over the jerseys at some point. And this is another way that kind of starts it in hockey, and I think it will continue. And I think they're going to continue to find creative ways to generate revenue where it may not have been there in the past, or people were reluctant to do certain things in the past. They're going to be open to it now.
What's next? You're going to commercialize the Zamboni? Forget about,
yes,
it.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
That's going to happen soon, right?
Yeah. Oh, that'll definitely happen.
The Zamboni is such a key element to the game. But yeah, this is a brilliant innovation from Gary Bettman, the commissioner. Another way to raise revenue stream. But remember, you know, 40, 50 years ago, everyone would mock NASCAR for their, yeah, for their outfits, for their jumpsuits that were covered with, you know, with sponsors. I said, oh man, they've sold out. They've sold out NASCAR. Well, you know, NASCAR is smart. NASCAR had that alternate stream of revenue for decades upon decades. And people would laugh at them. Not anymore. They're saying, where can I get my name on that jumpsuit?
Yeah.
And we discussed earlier in the show the possibility of the national championship game scheduled for next Monday possibly being postponed. But as of right now, according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports, he spoke with Athletic Director Gene Smith from Ohio State, saying we are on track to play the game. So that is the latest. There was a report of a COVID outbreak within the Ohio State program, but Gene Smith, their athletic director, says we're on track to play.
Which means one of two things. Everybody will be okay, or they themselves believe, why should we delay the inevitable? Let's just get it done.
I don't think that's their line of thinking, Fred. Oh, yeah, we're going to get our asses kicked anyway.
Might as well just get it out of the way.
No, Freddie. Come on. I think they may know something that it may not be as bad as once reported or initially reported from Ohio State that White's saying that. But I can't imagine that tonight or tomorrow we find a number of players and coaches that have caught the virus and they got a quarantine or be out for Monday's game and he has the same stance, the game is be continued. I think there's inside information that we don't know yet that maybe gives them the confidence to make a statement like that.
What's the difference? Push it back a week, 2 weeks, who cares? There's no fans. Who cares when they play this game? I don't. They could play it next Monday, they could play it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You got to be safe and protect the kids.
Want them at full strength, Vic? Don't you want the teams at full strength playing?
I do. I want them healthy. I want the kids healthy. I don't care if it's next week, 3 weeks. You know, people are dying. You know, I want this game. If they're going to play this championship game, everyone's got to be healthy. And no matter what it takes, if it's a 2 week, 3 week delay, who cares if the networks push it back? It doesn't matter what Monday night they play this game on.
Correct.
For clarification, there will be fans. The game's in Miami, a limited basis.
Limited.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Friends and family.
Yeah. And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Saltier Adam Oslin will join us next. Clippers are playing tonight, and the Lakers will be getting ready to go in Memphis pretty quick.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword FUN to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's FUN to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Yep. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Winding down a Tuesday for us. Happy New Year. First Tuesday of 2021. Getting all hot and heavy, but some things ain't changed, Fred.
No.
Some things haven't changed.
Adam Oslin is still salty.
I didn't mean that.
No.
I mean your patience and lack thereof. Not letting the haikus marinate.
Rodney, don't sit here and say you didn't have a concern that Vic had passed out, letting it marinate that long. I mean, it had to be a minute. And I was concerned for his safety and his health. And that's why I said Vic.
You thought it was a minute. It was only 15 seconds.
Boy, I sure
clock
look at
is off.
I look at time differently than you. Okay, let's bring on the Saltier Adam Oslin. The Clippers back in action tonight. They take on San Antonio. Tune in to Clipper Countdown with the Saltier at 6 p.m. The tip-off at 7 on your home of the Clippers, AM 570 LA Sports. That's all good. And Adam, happy New Year. Hello.
My New Year's resolution was to be less salty towards your dumbass, but I guess I just broke that.
Now, why is that? Why do you have to start like that?
Why do you have to start like that?
What kind of intro was that for Adam?
I gave him a nice intro.
Clipper Countdown and all of that stuff, Adam. That was terrible, Fred.
I thought it was very nicely done. Well, Adam, happy New
Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. It's good to hear you back on.
Okay. Well, let's start. We'll get to the Clippers in a second. But, you know, the Lakers also play in Memphis tonight. And Montrezl Harrell made some comments about how he's far more comfortable with the Lakers, how he can basically play his game with the Lakers, and how he felt, I would say, restricted with what they asked him to do with the Clippers. Do you think that's a statement of fact, or do you think he's taking a shot?
I think a lot of people have been taking shots at the Clippers and PG-13 at times. It feels like it's open season. It's Clippers versus everybody right now. But between him and Doc Rivers and Laker fans who would rather not even relish in the fact they won the championship but just spend more time taking shots at the Clippers for whatever reason, I've heard a lot of this over the last couple of months. And the fact that he was the sixth man of the year winner with the Clippers last season would go against the statement that he made. He's only averaging 12 points per game right now with the Lakers. He's down 4 points per game. And they sought him out in that trade when they moved CP3 to the Houston Rockets. The Clippers wanted Montrezl Harrell. He was somebody they coveted, and he really flourished with the Clippers. He became who he is today because of Doc Rivers and that coaching staff and the hard work that he put in as well. But I'm a little surprised at, you know, the side eye or shade that he threw at the Clippers with that comment.
Yeah, you know, I think it is time to move on too. But how much do you think, Adam, that the Clippers, and I'm speaking more in particular about, you know, Paul George, Pat Beverly, bring it on themselves? Because the, you know, even with the Portland guys last in the bubble, you know, just the chattiness going back and forth, the playoff peas, and do you think that Paul George has got maybe too much of rabbit ears right now because he seems to be listening to everything or every shot that's thrown out there at him?
Well, obviously on Sunday he got into it with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And he said post-game, "I hadn't heard chirping like this in my entire career until this year." So I think teams are thinking there's a weakness in Paul George. They can talk junk to him and get him off his game. And maybe some of that happened in the bubble last season, and that's carried over into this year. But he looks great so far. He's performing like an MVP candidate, 25 points per game, 50% from three. Is he hearing the noise? Yes. Has it affected him on the court? No. After he and Devin Booker and CP3 got into it on Sunday, he scored 7 more points and had the game-winning assist to Nicholas Batum late, and the Clippers held on in Phoenix, gave them their first home loss of the season. So he also acknowledged that, look, coming into this season, he took it upon himself to make some changes leadership-wise and just say up front that part of what happened last season was on him. A lot of people made probably too much out of the comments that came out of the Up in Smoke or All the Smoke podcast. He addressed those immediately. And he also said, if this is what I have to go through right now, going through the fire with guys talking trash to him and calling him playoff P or pandemic P or whatever it is, that's fine. I'll go through the fire as long as we're winning, as long as my team is winning right now. And I do have to answer some of those questions. And so
well,
far,
what happens
so
when they
good.
Don't win? Can he go through the fire too?
I mean, they lost the game by 50 and
things are going good.
Well,
is he only okay when things are going well? Can he ride both sides of the wave? And it seems like that he gets overly sensitive if things are not going his way.
Well, they lost a game by 51 points and then bounced back immediately. And he addressed it afterwards and took some more heat. I think, you know, time will tell. Obviously, every team right now, Rodney, feels like they can make the playoffs. And yep. You see a lot of teams playing good basketball. The New York Knicks are playing really well at the moment. You're seeing some teams struggle that we think are contenders, like the Denver Nuggets. So everybody, I think, has that feeling of we haven't faced real adversity yet, and there's a lot of good vibes going around. And we'll see when the Clippers have a 2 or 3 game losing streak, how things turn then. But yes, time will tell in that aspect with Paul George.
One thing I want to say about the Clippers, Adam, tell me if you agree. Given last year and the excitement that was generated and the expectations that were either fairly or unfairly placed on the club, this year, at least from my perspective, they're flying way under the radar. I mean, honestly, I hear very few people talk about the Clippers compared to last year. Are you getting that same sense that they're kind of working under the cloak of secrecy here?
Yeah, there is a little bit of that because they didn't live up to those expectations last season, and there was so much buzz coming into the year that they were the best team in LA, and then the Lakers go on to win the championship. And it feels like it's back to the way things were for so long. But I also think this fuels the Clippers. I think they like it. I think they use a lot of billboard material, poster board material like this, and it is something that has driven them. And they've talked about the motivation they have coming into this season because of how things ended last year. Ivica Zubac plainly put it that we know some people don't think we're contenders anymore, and we're here to prove them wrong. And so far, I mean, they're playing a better brand of basketball, especially offensively under T. Lou, than they were consistently, at least, last season. It's still early, but they do look like a different team on the court. They look like those leadership and chemistry issues that everybody was talking about before, they've addressed those. So we'll see as we move along here. But my guess is by the end of this month or early in February, a lot of people are going to be talking about the Clippers maybe being the best team in the league again.
There he goes, taking a little Adam taking a little shot at Doc Rivers. I see you.
Oh,
I see you. I see you, Adam. Yeah.
Hey, Philadelphia is 6-1. I'm happy for Doc.
Yeah. You know, chemistry issues that weren't there, that were there last year and all that little stuff. Adam, you're slipping nothing by me, man.
Well, some of that obviously is on the players. I Paul George and Kawhi Leonard just being in training camp this time around and building that foundation and that identity of who they're going to be going into the season, that changes everything. Plus, they're more comfortable because it's their second year.
Give me a quick comment on Nicholas Batum. I think he has played well for the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, St. Nicholas Batum? That's my guy. He's been unbelievable so far. He's been a godsend for this team. And I thought he would be good, and I liked the pickup immediately. But I didn't know he'd be shooting 45% from three and already hit a game winner for this team this season. And we've always talked about, well, where's that consistency on the court where some nights it feels like the effort isn't great or they're just not clicking offensively. He seems to be the one that's that iron to iron out the wrinkles in the offense because he does all the little things. He fills in the cracks. He keeps them in rhythm offensively. And defensively, he can still guard four different positions, five different positions at times. A lot of people said Nick Batum was washed last year. He just didn't play much. Just like Luke Kennard, he hasn't played in about a year, but you don't see that on the court right now. His timing is back, and he's fit in with the starters, mind you, while Marcus Morris has been out. He hasn't even played a game yet this season. So Nicholas Batum has been maybe their third best player to start off this year, and I don't think a lot of people saw that coming.
Yeah, and I think Luke Kennard is going to be such an X factor for this team. Adam, we talked earlier about, you know, LeBron and, you know, whether or not he'll play tonight and taking some time off and, you know, his age. And Fred now is an advocate for load management.
Well, that's interesting.
Really a nice switch up by
the
Freddie.
The full right reverse there. Rogan,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, reverse Rogan is what we're going to call him for the next few days.
No, I have great credibility.
Well, if you have to say it, you probably don't, Fred.
No, Rodney told me.
that's the only thing he took from a seven-minute rant that I had. But are we going to see a little bit of a different approach from the Clippers, or is it, you know, too much overblown that the guys resting, Kawhi's going to be on the same program, guys resting? And a lot of it was overblown last year because there were legitimate injuries that kept, you know, Paul George and Kawhi and others out. But it felt like, and the mantra was the Lakers were playing every game and the Clippers were not. They were taking time off getting ready for the playoffs. What do you think?
They've had this, speaking of mantras, saying going into this season that we can't skip any steps. Now, they haven't exactly divulged what that means, but I would still expect, and we'll find out probably tonight or tomorrow night, that Kawhi Leonard is going to sit one game of a back-to-back. I don't know this. I don't have any inside information, but the NBA has the same information the Clippers training staff does, the same information their medical team does, and it was injury management last season, not load management, and I think it'll be that again. And remember, speaking of Fred Rogan, there was a point last season where at first he was going after Kawhi Leonard, and then he said, you know what? He's hurt. It was like, oh, thanks, Fred. We've been telling you this for a while,
Adam,
that he's
Adam,
that he does have to manage this.
Yeah, Adam, let me wrap it up like this. Life is a fluid situation. Things change. Appreciate you jumping on. We're back to wrap it up in a minute.
Hooping hard for the man in the mask.
LA Clipper basketball is back.
And AM 570 LA Sports is your official home. Kawhi's former team, the Spurs, are in LA to battle the Clippers tonight. Pre-game at 6, tip-off at 7.
The home of the Clippers. Logan and Rodney.
Rodney Peach.
An athlete.
Rodney Peach.
A father.
Rodney Peach.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peach.
And this guy.
Fred Rogan. AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, we want to put a grand in your hand. Start out your new year with a chance to win $1,000. Listen, weekdays, 15 past the hour, from 7:15 to 4:15 for the cue to text. Complete details at am570lasports.com. Colin, well done. Are you back with us tomorrow?
I might be.
All right.
Oh, well, enlighten us, Colin.
Look forward to that. And Kevin, great job as well. Rodney, we'll get him tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
All right. Peace.